Good morning. I'd like to extend a special welcome to the visitors that we have. We're awful glad that you came to worship God with us this morning. We hope that your time will be, that you will consider it your time well spent, and we know that God will see it as well spent. We're going to look today at the calling of Matthew in Matthew chapter 9, Dave read the passage for us today. Matthew was called by Jesus. We're being called by Jesus. When I was little and was allowed, you know, it's kind of funny how your little world expands. You know, your world is a playpen for a while. Then you can get out of the playpen and wander around. You have the little barriers that prevent you from going upstairs or things like that. And then you get to where you can go out in the backyard and play there. And you can get out, or at least me, you could go play in the front yard as long as mom was on the porch to watch you. Then as you got a little older, I could play at friend's house. We could play ball out in the street or play across the street. It got to a point where my mom says, your little world can expand, but if I come to the front door and call for you, you better come. You don't get too far away that you can't hear me. I don't think anybody in here knew my mom. She had a voice. She could holler. And I knew the range, and she had an ongoing, you know, there's none of this, I didn't hear you. If you did not hear, you were too far away. Or you didn't respond. And either one was just as bad in my mom's eyes. You were either too far away that you didn't hear it, or you heard it and you did not respond. We're going to look at the calling of Matthew today. Matthew was an apostle. As an individual, he was a tax collector. That was his profession. There are multiple sermons in this lesson today. We might hear some other ones down the road taken from this issue. But Matthew was a tax collector. And Dave mentioned, you know, you might have an opinion of the IRS today. You know, it's getting to be that season. And I don't know if anybody likes paying taxes. But the tax collectors there in Jerusalem, the Jews especially, had a phrase for them, for a Jewish tax collector, which Matthew was, makshia, which means traitor. You're a traitor to your own people. How can you be doing this for the Roman Empire, collecting these not only high taxes, but the way they did it? It was common for tax collectors to skim money off the top. Talk about a nice little white-collar crime. They were skimming money right off the top before sending it on, charging people more than they should. A lot of the Roman soldiers were going along with it because they were enforcing it. The Roman army was there to enforce and to back up these tax collectors. A lot of times they'd get a little kickback from the tax collectors also. In Luke 13, we see a little insight into this world of the tax collectors. Starting in verse 12, it says, then tax collectors also came to be baptized. Obviously, you can be a tax collector and not, being a tax collector isn't wrong in and of itself. It's how they were doing it. Then tax collectors also came to be baptized and said to him, "Teacher, what shall we do?" And he said to them, "Collect no more than what is appointed for you." Every one of us has had conflicts in our life with sin. And we've asked ourselves that question, what do we do? And Jesus responded, in Matthew's case, you don't collect more than you're appointed to. Don't be skimming off the top. Don't be charging people more than what they should. There's nothing wrong with being a tax collector. But if you go about it in the wrong way. And that's a lesson for us. But these people were so despised by society, they were wanting to be baptized. They were wanting to be Christians. I wonder if they would have asked some of the religious leaders of the day, the Pharisees, what do we need to do to be good Jews? They might have gotten a different answer. They asked Jesus, though, what do we need to do? And he said, and he gave them the solution. Be a tax collector, but do it right. Don't be charging people more than you should. A little side note for me. I wonder, how do we view people that come to us, that want to come to the church, that are feeling called by Jesus to respond? How do we treat them? Get away from us, you Moksha, you traitor. Or teaching them and accepting them. Jesus didn't say, oh, just come on in and be baptized and don't change a thing about what you're doing. He didn't say that. You've got to change. Repentance is a big issue here. It's a whole nother lesson. In Luke 18, we see a parable that involved a tax collector. Starting in verse 9, it says, also he spoke this parable to some who trusted in themselves, that they were righteous and they despised others. And Jesus goes on to tell them this parable. Two men went up to the temple to pray. One a Pharisee and the other a tax collector. One of the religious leaders of the society, a Jewish Pharisee that were schooled in the law. In fact, they were sometimes referred to as doctors of the law. They knew it inside and out. They knew the Old Testament. The other, a tax collector. I do not know if Jesus had Matthew in mind when he told this parable. He doesn't name a tax collector by name. It is a story to relate an issue. But two men went up to the temple to pray, one a Pharisee and the other a tax collector. The Pharisee stood and prayed thus with himself, God, I thank you that I am not like other men, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even as this tax collector. I fast twice a week. I give tithes of all that I possess. And the tax collector, standing afar off, would not so much as raise his eyes to heaven, but beat his breast, saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. This story is about us. How do we approach God? Oh, God, you know how good I am. I come Sunday morning. I even come back Sunday night. I even come every so often on Wednesdays. I'm so good. thank you that I'm not like these other people. And then the tax collector, his heart was so heavy, he couldn't even lift his eyes to heaven. He beat his breast and asked God, please be merciful on me, a sinner. I wonder, and this is, we don't have an answer. I wonder how much of this parable was being spoken to Matthew. Just maybe not by name. Had a ton of meaning for anybody. But here, one of his followers was a tax collector. Let's look at the calling of Matthew. Jesus goes on to tell the people, I tell you, this man went down to his household justified rather than the other. For everyone who exalts himself will be humbled. And he who humbles himself will be exalted. I want us to look at the calling of Matthew himself. Don't know if Jesus had Matthew in mind. Don't know if Jesus told that parable for the sake of Matthew, if he was just changing the names to protect the innocent, we don't know. But let's look at what we do know about Matthew. And it's Matthew 9, a few verses starting in verse 9. As Jesus passed on from there, he saw a man named Matthew sitting at the tax office. And he said to him, follow me. So he arose and followed him. We don't know how much background they had with each other. Don't know how much Matthew had heard Jesus teach. But obviously, it was enough that Jesus had credibility. He left what he was doing and he followed him. This is the calling. Jesus is calling us. Do we get so far that we don't hear him? Or do we hear and ignore his call? Matthew arose and followed Jesus. Next, we see he goes to the home and has a meal. It says, now it happened as Jesus sat at the table in the house that behold, many tax collectors and sinners came and sat down with him and his disciples. So you've got this meal. Jesus is sitting amongst some tax collectors, other people that were seen as sinners. And this is the setting. You've got a confrontation. Here in verse 11, it says, when the Pharisees saw it, they said to his disciples. Notice they don't go to Jesus personally. We were talking in class today about gossip and the tongue and so forth, and they don't even go to Jesus. They will go to Jesus about a lot of things, but they go to the disciples and are asking questions. They're saying, why does your teacher eat with tax collectors and sinners? Here you've got next in verse 12 the response. When Jesus heard that, he said to them, those who are well have no need of a physician, but those who are sick. Could you imagine going to the doctor and he turns you away? No, I don't want to deal with you. You're sick. Get away from me. I don't want to deal with you. I only want well, healthy people. You know, you're coughing too much. As a school teacher, I don't want to deal with dumb kids. Every one of them that comes in, I've got to teach them something. That's what it's about. Religion. Is it a social club that we want to keep people out? Or do we want those? We should be calling the sinners. Come to us. Repent. Change your lives. Jesus called Matthew. A tax collector. We don't know if he was one of the crooked ones or not. We don't know that. But he called Matthew. Jesus is sitting amongst at a meal with sinners. Was he hobnobbing and rubbing elbows with them? No. He was teaching them. The Pharisees, oh, why are you associating with those people? He was reaching those people. It's not the healthy people that need a doctor. It's the sick ones. Sinners are the one that need Jesus. In verse 13, we see the command. He's telling the Pharisees, and remember, these were the religious leaders. These were the ones that supposedly had it together. They were known as doctors of the law. They knew it inside and out. Here he tells them, but go and learn what this means. And he's going to be quoting from 1 Samuel, the 15th chapter, verse 22. He's quoting an Old Testament passage. He's telling them, you need to go and figure out what this means. I bet you they knew what it was when he quoted it. There's a difference in knowing a passage and knowing how to apply it. He says, go and learn what this means. I desire mercy and not sacrifice, for I did not come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. God paid a huge price to save His creation. That was the death of His Son. He didn't come to call the righteous. He came to call sinners for salvation. John 3, 16 and 17, a passage we use a lot. You kids, you've probably heard this in Bible class ever since you've been in Bible class. Bet your little Kindle probably knows this verse. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whoever believes in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God did not send His Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through Him might be saved. Jesus is calling us. He called the sinners at the time of Matthew. He called Matthew. He's calling us. Matthew 15, Jesus is talking with the Pharisees again. And in this chapter, if I remember right, I think it's seven times. I've got it written in my Bible. I think it's seven times throughout the chapter. He calls the Pharisees hypocrites. But in verse 7, he says, hypocrites, well did Isaiah prophet about you, saying, these people draw near to me with their mouth and honor me with their lips, but their heart is far from me, and in vain they worship me, teaching as doctrine the commandments of men. These were the Pharisees that should have been teaching the people, should have seen the Savior. He was right in front of them. The Jews had been looking for the Savior for generations. The people that should have recognized Him did not. And He calls them hypocrites. He says, you come and you worship me, but in vain. You're spinning your wheels. You honor me with your lips, but your heart is far from me. We know that Romans 3:23, Paul writes to the Romans and he says, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. That's a humbling verse. It's not those people that are sinners. It's us that are sinners. We all are. All have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. three chapters later in Romans 6:23, we see that the wages of sin is death. But the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. We are all sinners. And the wages of sin is death. But God loved us so much that He paid the price for our salvation. Mark 16:16. Jesus told His followers, "He who believes and is baptized will be saved. But he who does not believe will be condemned." It's as plain as black and white. He died for us. And Jesus says, "He who believes and is baptized," not just believes. The demons believe and they tremble. They tremble, as it says in James. It's not just a mental acknowledgement. Most people, you take a poll, and there's lots of polls going on right now. I'll be glad when the people quit calling, asking for my opinion about things. I'll be glad when it's after November. But if you polled people, most people in America believe in God. They believe in Jesus. But believing, just a mental acknowledgement, that's not good enough. Jesus says, "He who believes and is baptized will be saved." Romans 6, verses 3 and 4, I think we used this verse last week also. It's a good one. Might use it again next week. Starting verse 3. "Or do you not know that as many of us as were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into His death? Therefore, we were buried with Him through baptism into death, that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life." When Jesus called Matthew, He called him to something better. When He called us, He's called us to something better. I hope that when we responded to Jesus' call, we didn't stay in the gutter that we were in. I hope we left the world of sin. I hope that we changed. We died to sin. We were buried, just like Jesus died on the cross. We died to sin. We were buried in the water of baptism, just like He was buried in the ground. And just like He arose from the dead, He conquered death. When we come up out of that water, we are new creatures. We've left that old behind. Nothing special with the water. There's nothing special about the water. It's not washing away the dirt from us. Jesus called Matthew, and he followed him. Jesus is calling us. Most of us that I know of have answered that call. I answered that call back in 1976. I realized that I was a sinner and I had sin in my life and I needed to wash that sin away. And I was baptized in 1976 and the Lord added me to His church. His church. Not anybody else's, His church. If you're not a member of the Lord's church, if you have not been added through baptism, you need to be. Jesus called Matthew. He's calling us today. And the question I have for you, what will you do? Will you answer that call? Are you hearing the call and ignoring it? Or so far away that you don't even hear it? His call is stronger than my mom's voice. If you need to answer that call, when Curtis leads us in the invitation song, please make that decision. If you need prayers of the congregation, if there's something that we as your brothers and sisters can assist you with, we will be glad to go to God on your behalf in prayer. If you'd like to identify with us as this is the location of the Lord's body that you'd like to worship with, we would love to have you. If you need to repent of sin in your life, there is no better time. There's no better time than right now. If your sin is of a public nature, you need to repent publicly. If it is between you and God, do so right now. Whatever your need, if you need to respond to the invitation, please come forward as we stand and sing.